Off the Ball Rugby.
What Jory Barrett has brought to the club, the performances he's had, the punch that he gives, is another dimension on what Robbie's game is. That's the reality.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Now, you'll probably have seen over the past couple of weeks the London City Lionesses were promoted to the WSL on the final day of the Championship season. They drew 2-2 with Birmingham City to keep them at bay and to finish 2 points clear at the top of the table. Megan Campbell is one of the stars of the London City team this season, and I'm delighted to say that she is with us now. Megan, how are you doing?
Hi, Owen, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Talk us through the last week or so then. Is it mega celebrations or how did it turn out?
Yeah, to be fair, we had a 2 or 3 good days of celebrations together as a team. And then it was time to have a few days off before back in training, ready for, you know, being available for camp the end of the month. So not much rest for the wicked, but enjoyed the few days while I could.
It's one of the benefits, albeit there are a couple of negatives, including nervousness, but one of the benefits of going down to the final day of the season is that if you get over the line, there's no more games to worry about. You can just let loose for a few days.
Yeah, literally. I think for us, it was like such a stressful week, but obviously you wouldn't want it to go any other way, because ultimately, like, the way the season panned out, it coming down to the final day of the season was really good for the league and overall for, like, the neutral, you know? So yeah, it was nice that it came down to the last day.
The in-game scenario didn't do much to help the nerves, I think it's fair to say. Taking that 2-0 lead against Birmingham, if they had beaten you, they went up instead and they managed to claw it back to 2-2 by the 86th minute. What are you thinking when the equaliser goes in?
Just nerves, stress, get the ball out, just defend for your life. No, I think, to be fair, as a defender, I think those are the games that you want to be a part of, the fine detail, the nitty gritty, the battling at the end. And when the fourth official put up 10 minutes, I'm not going to lie, like, my heart started going a bit faster and trying to just get everyone to stay calm and stuff. And I think that's when the senior players maybe in our team, you know, had to step up and show that experience and show that calmness about them. Of course, we were defending for our lives. I think Birmingham did really well in the last 20 minutes to put us under a lot of pressure, and it's a credit to them. But yeah, for us, it was just about sticking together as a team and staying compact as much as we could.
How have the expectations been to deal with all season? Because I presume there's been a bit of a factor there with the new manager, a couple of big signings. It was a real statement of intent on a couple of levels from London City this season. Not that it was ever a given that you would get promoted, but I presume there was a level of expectation out there.
Yeah, 100%. I think the club and the owner, Michelle Kang, had a plan in place that over the next 2 to 3 years, they wanted to be in the WSL. Of course, we overachieved that in terms of getting there in the first year, but they had plans in place to want to be successful. And I think when you have that mentality across the board, both staff and players, you know, it drives that excellence in training. It drives that push to want to be the best in the league. And it brought the best out of a lot of young players as well, who I would think is probably their first experience of senior football, so to come in and be among some of them big high name players, it was probably a new challenge for them as well, and I think they've done really well with it.
Because you had the second half of last season, right? So this wasn't your first full season, so can you talk us through the changes you noticed between the half a season you experienced and this season?
Yeah, when I first came into London City, when I was in talks with them, they were struggling at the middle to bottom of the table, and they were like, can you come in and can you help us, you know, to stay in the league, and with your experience across the back line, we'd really appreciate it. And so then they explained to me the project and what Michelle Kang was trying to do when she bought the club and where that was trying to go. And so for me, yeah, it was really important that I just came in, and ultimately I needed football, which was, you know, I needed to play minutes for a national team as well to be available. So it worked for both parties. And I mean, the change is ultimately we were going from struggling and trying to battle to stay in the league to now battling and contending to win the league. So it was a completely different dynamic 1 year to the other. But it was a nice challenge to have.
Talk to us about the Michelle Kang impact then. Quite a conspicuous owner. She was there with the trophy on the pitch after sealing promotion. Obviously a really big character for the club. But what are you seeing behind closed doors that maybe the rest of us don't see?
I think, like, just there's no ceiling to the football club. There's no, like, you know, there's no being spoken about, and she wants the club to be successful, which, I mean, I think it's evident in how successful we've been in terms of who we've brought in this year, where the club plan to go next year. They don't want to be just competing and staying in the WSL. They want to compete for Champions League. They want to compete for titles. So, I mean, there is going to be a lot of big changes come next season. You know, but she's you know, she's dedicated to women's football. She shows a strong interest in wanting to promote women's football for women, treating women as women. And I think with this being the first female-only football club in the WSL, I think that stands credit to her and what she wants to achieve within the women's game. And, you know, when you've got someone like herself back in women's football and back in a club, you know, it's so nice as a player to have that, knowing that, you know, she's going to do everything she can for women's sport. And it's not just us she has as London City. She's also got, you know, obviously Olympic Lyon Femme, and she has Washington Spirit as well. So, and I think she plans on having a lot more as well. So, she's just getting started.
Yeah, like it'll be a fascinating conversation. I'd love to chat to her at some point just to pick her brains on, I guess, what she has experienced in terms of getting these clubs to the places that they are. And, I mean, I'm not sure, but I would suspect what you guys have done this season and being the only independent club in the WSL next year, that must rank pretty highly for her in terms of achievements in her career, sports-related anyway. Like the fact that, you know, English football has been such a behemoth for so long, it's kind of inevitable that when the clubs attached to men's teams started to pump money into their teams, they would become dominant forces. And for an independent breakthrough story like this season, that's kind of remarkable.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like you've just listed, ultimately, teams normally are jumping off the back of the men's money and promotion and investment and stuff will all come from the men's team. And it, I mean, there's no problem with that. You know, it's great to see that the men's teams want to back their women's teams and stuff. But it's sad where some clubs don't want to do that. And then you've got the likes of us who, we don't have a men's team. And the fact that Michelle has wanted to jump on that and, you know, like I said before, like, she wants to treat women as women and promote the women's game for who we are, is fantastic. And yeah, like I said, there's no ceiling to this football club. And ultimately, I can't wait to see how successful they can be over the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, because, like, as you've alluded to there, it's not always a positive story with regards to the men's clubs trying to keep a women's team going and trying to push it forward. Like, we've seen a situation with Wolves recently, with Blackburn Rovers this week. It's hit and miss, and I guess we need to be kind of careful with saying, oh, they're attached to a men's club, therefore they've got a good chance of success.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's also like, if the men aren't doing too well or the men get relegated from the Premier League, you know, that takes a knock-on effect on their finances. And ultimately the first, unfortunately, to take the hit 9 times out of 10 is the women's team, because we are, unfortunately, we don't, you know, a lot of women's teams, not the top teams, of course, but a lot of women's teams aren't getting profit, you know, for that football club. And, you know, it's a harsh reality, but ultimately we want to continue to push women's football so that it does continue to grow. And hopefully in the near future, to the future, that there is, you know, profits to be made from women's football. And I mean, as you can see, like, it's the biggest growing sport in the world. So it's inevitable that it's going to happen. It's just taking a bit longer, of course.
I know we saw you playing a new position for the Republic of Ireland in the not-too-distant past and moving into centre-back. What sort of positions have you been playing for London City all season? Is it more full-back?
No, I've been playing centre-back, to be fair, for London City. Yeah, left of the two or left of the three. Yeah, I think as I'm getting older, the experience and reading the game helps me being centre-half. Obviously, the legs, the running in the legs is not as it used to be playing full-back. So, I enjoy playing left-back, of course. If called upon, then I'm going to want to do that as best as I can. But I think my preferred is centre-back, yeah.
At what stage do you realise that this was going to become the preferred position? Because it's, I'm sure there are plenty of tweaks to your game that you need to be able to come up with, but obviously on the balance sheet it's obviously favoured you.
Yeah, I think, you know, being able to read the game, my understanding of the game, my experiences within the game and the teams I've played for, you know, the knowledge within football and the game as it's growing, you've got to be very good at reading the game. And I think that's one of my strengths as a player, and being able to also communicate with younger players around me, but any player really around me, to be able to, whether that be joystick them or, you know, just guide them, because ultimately if I can help them, it helps me, you know. And I think I'm a very big communicator. I'm really good at reading the game. So I think when you're in a more central position, you need to have those two qualities. And thankfully, I have them.
How do you find that role on the pitch, being the leader, joysticking? I love that verb. How do you find that process? Like, is that something that you've always been quite good at, or is it something that you've only kind of learned as you got a bit more experienced?
Yeah, I think I've always been vocal, but maybe the confidence within being vocal and the confidence behind players then trusting in my ability when I am telling them things, that probably comes as you get older, and through experiences of learning and saying the right things and then saying things quicker as well, because obviously if you're saying things too and it's taking too long to get it out, the moment's already passed, you know. So yeah, definitely experience, but also confidence will be a big thing with that.
In generally speaking, the championship this year, where did that sit in terms of the standard of that division at the moment? Because certainly from this standpoint, it looks like not just the WSL, but the championship is just going in such a stratospheric direction that I presume the standard is just at an unbelievable level, even in the second tier at the moment.
Yeah, I think the competitiveness between the league this year showed that, you know, it is getting tighter amongst those teams. I do think that there still is a big gap between the top division and the second division, but it shows that it is, you know, getting closer and closer. And, you know, it's about those teams that are in the second division then constantly promoting their women's team and helping to back their women's team and giving them the best financial, you know, ability to be able to go and try and get promoted. Ultimately, I mean, the aim is to be in a WSL and hopefully it can grow in terms of the amount of teams that is in it as well, because then it becomes more competitive. But you don't want teams being promoted and then ultimately losing 5-6-7-0, because that doesn't show the competitiveness within the league, and it's probably not good for those teams to be in the league if they're at that point either, because I think, you know, that takes away from maybe the game itself. But I think ultimately the game is growing and it is, the gap is closing. It's just how quickly can we do that, and you know, the quality of players both in England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland, Northern Ireland, in like that home space, like it's brilliant to see the quality coming in. And I think it's harder to be in the WSL nowadays because a lot of teams are, you know, they're buying those players in from abroad, and the rule of obviously having more internationals, non-homegrowns in the top division, it hurts some of the homegrown, you know, and it's hard for those players to then break into the senior team. So I think it's important that they do hold on to that, those grassroots, and develop those younger players and allow them that space to be able to make it into that team, because there's such a big talent pool in the second division. And I think a lot of them are because, you know, unfortunately they can't break into the top teams because they're buying, you know, players in across the water. So it's hard. But yeah, the gap's definitely closing.
The New Balance Furon V8, crafted for speed, tested and worn by Bukayo Saka. Experience engineered minimalism at its finest and fastest. We updated the Furon V8 for even faster performance on the pitch. Same ultra lightweight, precision strike focus design. Now with even greater sense of speed, a new speed control stud supports control during sudden stops, sharp pivots, and moves used by the fastest players, like Saka himself. Step up your game in the new Furon V8. Learn more and get yours at newbalance.com/soccer.
Can I ask, when you're playing centre back, does that hamper your ability to take the throw-ins anymore, or do you just shuffle around, it's all good?
Just take a bit longer. It's all right. It's actually a really good thing if you're winning a game, because then it takes me longer to get to the sideline. So I don't think the referee would like that, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't hamper. Obviously, you can take a really quick one if you're playing left back, in terms of you might catch a defender out who's not paying attention or is switched off for a second. But ultimately, it's still a weapon, and it can still be used when needed, thankfully.
You're in the Guinness Book of Records officially as of 2 weeks ago only, right? That's when your throw was officially recorded.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, the fact that you just said that. It probably still hasn't hit me. Like, I used to get the Guinness Book of Records book when I was a kid at Christmas or Santa, and like it would come and I'd be like, oh my God, look at all these amazing things. And now I could possibly be in it. And it's just, it's bizarre, to be honest. Yeah, my dad and family and friends always used to joke, oh, you need to go on that and you need to tell them, like, and blah, 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 and show them. And I was like, no, that's not me. And then they contacted me and I was like, no way, like, this is a joke. So yeah, it was quite cool.
I hadn't realised they contacted you. If I had the longest throw in the game, I would be contacting them and messaging them every single day to try and get me into the book. So they obviously found you.
Yeah, no, I'm not that type of person to be very out there and like outspoken in that sense. I'm quite quiet in that front. But when they did contact me, I think, you know, the media team behind me and the club as well, and obviously national team were like, go for it, you know, like it's quite a cool achievement if you can do it. So they unfortunately couldn't count the in-game ones, which I know with adrenaline and things like that, obviously it would go a lot further in the crowd behind you, like the one in the Aviva. But they had to do it from just, they come out and they record it there and then. So it was a little bit harder, but thankfully I had some of my teammates there on the sideline cheering me on. So it was good. It was a nice day.
Did you feel a sense of pressure?
No, I mean, I know I can do it. It was maybe just a... can I do it on that day, you know? Yeah. So maybe there was a little bit of pressure. And they had set out the mannequin to 35 metres. It's from the cone to the mannequin, you have to at least hit this. And my first two attempts fell short. And I was like, bloody hell, I could be here all night at this stage. But no, thankfully on the next one, it went even further. And yeah, I've got the record, which is crazy.
I know you were saying afterwards that you think the record might stand for about a week until someone gets hold of the information. We're 2 weeks and counting at the moment. It's not in danger just yet, I don't think.
I mean, no, to be fair, when I got asked the question at the end of doing it, they said, do you want someone to beat it? And I said, of course, because ultimately, like, it helped, like, it promotes somebody else, you know, like, it's not about me. Yeah, I'm putting it out there in terms of I've been the first to do it, but I definitely won't be the last. And I think it's important for young people to have role models, no matter what that is, and, you know, to show that there is no boundaries and the barriers can be broken down. And I want, ultimately, I want someone to go and beat that record, you know, because it's cool. It's something cool and to have. And if a young player looking up to me can, I can do it, and, you know, when they're older then they break it, then that's fantastic ultimately. So, and I'm sure there is a lot of girls or women around the game, around the world, that definitely have a long throw. They just need to maybe contact Guinness Book of Records and say, I want to beat it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Do you have contemporaries? Like, do you play championship games sometimes and all of a sudden there's another Megan Campbell who you hadn't realised who's launching them in? Or do you kind of feel in your part of the world in football, you really kind of are out on your own?
Yeah, I've not visually seen any that I've come up against myself. But I know that there is some. I know there's a girl that plays for Wolfsburg who's Icelandic. I know she's got quite a long throw. One of my ex-teammates, Dagny Brynjusdóttir, who's also Icelandic, tagged me in it saying, you've got a new challenge, and tagged the girl. So, yeah, no, there definitely is players who are out there that can do it. I've just not come across it myself.
How much did London City rely on that as a tactic all season?
We actually didn't use it.
Really?
To be honest. Yeah. Interesting enough, it was nice to just be a footballer and not have to take a lot of throw-ins. My back was thankful for it. But no, it's not something that we used. It's not something that we relied on. Maybe in the Birmingham game twice, I think I used it to get us in relief pressure in that sense, but not on an attacking front. This season, not really, no. Maybe once or twice in a game, but sparingly.
I'm not sure, did you see the Arsenal men's team last week going to the long throws in their second leg against Paris Saint-Germain? Yeah, Thomas Partey. It was really interesting. The first time they've pulled it out all year. Are you surprised that more teams don't do it on the regular?
Yeah, 100%. I was working with a guy called Thomas Gronin, and he used to work with Liverpool men's team, and he improves Trent Alexander-Arnold's and Andy Robertson's throw-in by about 15 metres. And he said the amount of throw-ins you get in a game between both teams is around 50. And the fact that teams don't actually work on throw-ins as a set piece is crazy to him, because he's like, he's a throw-in coach. So of course he's obviously going to be biased in saying that, but it's so true, because like, how many teams don't actually take advantage of the throw-in, and how many teams don't, you know, use it to their advantage? You can either switch the play, you can, like I said, relieve pressure, you can use it as an attacking threat, and it's a set piece ultimately, so it's a chance at an opportunity on the opponent's goal. So yeah, I'm surprised that both men and women's teams don't use it.
Can I ask, what did you think of Thomas Partey's technique?
I only seen one right at the end, and then the referee blew the whistle, so I didn't really see much of it. But it wasn't like not long. I think it was quite a long throw for considering. And I actually think Arsenal are one of the best teams in the men's game for set pieces. I think their set piece like organisation is incredible, and their set piece coach, I hope he's on a lot of money because it works wonders for them.
Yeah, I think he was bound to get a statue there midway through the season after after all the set piece goals they'd scored. But I ask you that question because it looked kind of unusual. Like, I mean, when you do it, when Rory Delap used to do it, it's just kind of like your hands and the ball are in one motion, and it just looks so natural. And I'm sure there's loads of work that goes into it, but it just looks like a gift. Whereas maybe he looked a bit more cumbersome when he was throwing it in, and I just wanted to ask you that. But also as the game went on, like, is it harder to keep doing it as the game goes on? Like, you mentioned your back there is thankful for the fact that you hadn't been called in to do it too much. Like, as a midfielder, like, I presume that takes a little bit of a toll on endurance as the game goes on, if you're consistently trying to put in these big throws.
Yeah, I think it depends. I mean, at international level, with the adrenaline and the crowd behind you, and if you're putting pressure on the team, and you know, it's working well, and you're getting closer and closer to scoring, then I don't think it ever affects you as a player. Maybe after the game, but not during it. Definitely not, because ultimately you're getting chances on goal, and I actually think it goes further when you've got the crowd screaming behind you. And you know, it really helps me personally to get the throw in to go further when you've got a big crowd behind you.
Have you ever spoken to Rory Delap?
Never. Oh, yeah. I used to play it when I was playing at Man City. His son, Liam Delap, was at City at the time.
Yeah.
But I've never spoken to his dad.
Yeah, because it feels that maybe it's because you're both from Ireland, you know, maybe that's why. But like, I would say even Premier League fans, WSL fans, international football fans, like, I mean, the two of you are out there in terms of like the people that we remember as long throw artists. It's interesting. Like, I just can't get over how it's such a small collection of players. Like, the list is so short, Megan.
Yeah, it's actually funny you say that, because there used to be a guy who played for Iceland men's team, and he had a long throw, and there's a girl who plays for Iceland women's team, and she's got a long throw.
Right.
So it's quite interesting you say that. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe there's just something in certain cultures.
Something in the water.
Yeah. I'm not. You were never tempted to do. Was it an Iranian footballer in the 2018 World Cup who did like a front flip and then got extra length on it on the throw? You haven't been tempted to try and beat your own Guinness World Record by adding a front flip or anything to your throw, have you?
No, I definitely think I'd be out of the game a lot longer than I needed to be if I tried that.
Can I ask you, you were watching the GAA on Sunday, I believe, obviously as a proud, loud woman. What were your emotions?
Unbelievable, I think, after obviously 68 years of not having a trophy. Like the captain said, coming back across the toll, back to Louth, it was just a fantastic achievement from the men's team. And my cousin actually plays for them, Darren Alley, so it was quite cool to see him being successful as well, and to see him lifting the trophy on the steps. You know, it was just fantastic for the town, for the county. You know, I think they've been written off many, many times over the years, and I think it's fantastic for them to see the success again and to hopefully bring a lot of hope, and ultimately too, it helps for the younger generations coming through the county. It's fantastic to see success, and that always promotes younger players to want to get out and play sports, and if that pushes more young boys and girls to want to play, then ultimately they've done their job, and it's a brilliant occasion for them to be able to do that as well in Croke Park against Meath, big rival. So yeah, it was brilliant.
Yeah, it really was. And the question is, like, what does that do to a team? And I'm sure you've been in plenty of situations, like the Republic of Ireland is a perfect example, where if you're the first team to achieve something that might have seemed impossible a few years prior to you doing that thing, you then start to shatter a whole pile of other expectations afterwards as well. And that is a question that we've asked about this Louth team over the last couple of days. You know, what are the heights that they can go on to? And it feels that it could be potentially limitless given the belief that they now have.
Yeah, definitely. I think with success, it breeds a culture of winning, and it breeds a culture of, you know, togetherness within a team. And I think they have a good mixture of youth and older players. And I think it stands to them. Obviously, you've got the All-Irelands coming up now, and hopefully they do well within that as well. But I think, you know, for this team, I don't think it stops here. I think it's 1 year, but I'm hoping that they can build momentum now coming into the next five years.
Just to finish up then on the Republic of Ireland, Megan, you've got Turkey on the 30th of May, and then that reverse fixture against Slovenia on the 3rd of June. let's be honest here, how much are you looking forward to getting another crack at Slovenia and righting the wrongs of the last fixture?
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes of, you know, our reaction after that camp and after that game when we played. You know, we weren't happy with it. Obviously, everyone speaks about how unhappy we were and how we underperformed as a team, and we know that we're much better than that. And yeah, we have to right those wrongs, but we first have to beat Turkey to be even in with a chance of, you know, being in contention. Ultimately, we want to top the group, but first we have to beat Turkey before we play Slovenia in Cork. And that's also going to be a tough game. We only beat them 1-0 in Tallinn, and they're a physical side. They're improving all the time, and I do think their ranking doesn't speak truth to where they are currently. So yeah, it's going to be a tough camp, but I'm really looking forward to being back in with the girls. Obviously, we've had 3 weeks off. Some girls will have 2 weeks off, so it'll be a balance. Other players are still in season. So yeah, it'll be nice to get back around the team again. I think the first camp was always hard, you know, building, losing players, new staff members, you know, trying to grow that new winning culture, new team environment, new players. And, you know, in the last camp, I think the team gelled a lot more together, and there was a much better togetherness within the group, and it was fantastic to see that then come out onto the pitch as well, with everybody contributing. So yeah, hopefully long may it continue, and the next camp hopefully we can see it improve even more.
Well, listen, Megan, it's been great chatting to you. Congratulations on a brilliant season even with London City Lionesses, and best of luck in that doubleheader coming down in the next couple of weeks. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Owen. Thank you.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.